Again, as I did this morning, I apologise for the croaky voice. Not a whole lot we can do about it at the present time. And if I run out of steam, Philip will be up here giving his testimony. Or he can sing if he wants. But it's Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. I'd like to draw your attention to some words that it says in verse 32 about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "He shall be great." That's what it says. The beginning of verse 32, "He shall be great." We'll have a wee word of prayer together, please. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy goodness already tonight. Thank Thee, Lord, for every child that is here this evening, and every one that comes on a Tuesday night. Thank Thee for the homes that they come from, for those parents that are willing to send them along. And Lord, we thank Thee too for what we've heard from them tonight, for the readings, for the singing from the children, from the message from the ladies. And Lord, for Thy word. As we look to it now, we pray that the Lord would, for these moments, shut us in with Himself. Lord, the Word of God is always relevant for us, always important for us. And if we listen to it properly, then it will be that which will change our lives and help us greatly in every area of our lives. Especially we think of those who don't know the Lord yet. Father, that even tonight through the Word, they might be brought to a realization of their need of Jesus Christ as personal Saviour. So be with us now and undertake for us. In our Saviour's name we ask it. Amen. You know, for many, many years, men and women had looked forward to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people had, we have to call them misconceptions about Him, what He would do, and what He would mean to them. We think of all the many people in the Bible, and they expected Him to be a military leader, one who would be a liberator of the people. And as he grew a little bit older after he'd been born, and they realized that he was not here to fight a physical warfare, that he was not here to be a military leader, then the great crowds that had showed an interest in him, they began to distance themselves from him. They didn't really have any time for what he had to say. And as he spoke to them, as we mentioned this morning, he spoke about salvation. And when he spoke to them about those things, then sadly men and women, by and large, they didn't want to know. Indeed, towards the end of his ministry, the great crowds that even had thronged at times to listen to him preaching, they had dwindled away to just little numbers who were gathered here and there to hear him preaching. And I would like to ask you the question tonight, what is Jesus Christ to you? What is he to you? Sometimes when you read the newspaper or you happen to watch a documentary about some historian or some person in history, I should say, the person comes out with an expression such as, "Oh, he was a great man." Maybe in war he was a great strategist and was able to lead armies into victory in very difficult circumstances. And for that they say, "Well, he was a great man." But there are people today and they will say, "Oh, she's a great person," or "he's a great man," because of their sports performance, because of their singing talent, and all of the various things that they do. Well, we must remember that those people are as good as their last game of football, or they're as good as their last song, and that's as far as it goes. Because as far as greatness is concerned, there is no one to compare with the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "He shall be great." And I know today that if you go into Lisburn Town Centre, you will not be there very long when you will hear little boys and girls, and they will use the name of Jesus as a swear word. And occasionally you'll be in conversation with a person and it seems that they cannot string a sentence together without taking the Lord's name in vain. He's disrespected. In his own time, walking on earth, he was disrespected. He was brutally treated by men. And when you ask people today, "What is Jesus to you?" Some people will be stuck for an answer. They'll say, "Well, he doesn't really mean much to me." Other people will say, "Well, he's the one that we sing about at Christmas," and they will have that some kind of an interest in religious things. But I wonder this evening, can you really say concerning the Lord that as far as you're concerned, he is great? Because his greatness sets him apart from all others. It does not matter how highly esteemed they are in the eyes of men and women. It does not matter what their personal human achievements have been. When it comes to comparison with the Lord Jesus Christ, He outshines them all. And I want to draw your attention for a very few moments tonight to the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ as it's mentioned here in this verse. Well, there is first of all the greatness of his person. The Bible tells us concerning me, Kern Salt, that we're all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. It says that there's none in the Bible, that there's none righteous, no, not one. It says that we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And we could go on and on and on tonight. And as we would seek to paint a picture of our own character in life, it would only get darker and darker because we're sinners. And when it comes to our person tonight, we were born far from perfect. But when we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we think of the greatness of his person, we first of all think of the perfection of his nature. You see, Jesus Christ was born without sin. He was born of the Virgin Mary. I know that modern thinkers, so-called, and liberal preachers and so on will say, well, there's no way he wasn't born of a virgin. The Bible says he was born of a Virgin Mary, and that is what it means. He was born without sin, and he never did no sin, and not only did he do no sin, because Jesus Christ is God, he could not sin. His holy character would not permit him to sin. We read in John's Gospel this morning, I'm going to read a few verses just there now. It's in John's Gospel, chapter 1. There are words that bear repetition. It says, there in chapter 1 of John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That is Jesus Christ. Sometimes when you're chatting to a Jehovah's Witness, and they will say to you, but it really means the Word was a God. No, it doesn't. It means the Word was God. Jesus Christ is God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. That shows us that he was there at the beginning, the creation. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. Listen to it. And the darkness comprehended it not. Couldn't understand. Didn't recognize that here was that light. When you read in the Word, you read of a man called John. In this chapter who was sent from God, it says that he was not the light. But he was to bear witness of the light. He was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did indeed in a tremendous way bear witness of the one who is the light. The one who was coming. The one who we think about are men and women perhaps who don't often think about him. They think about him perhaps a wee bit at this time of the year. He was the light. But men comprehended it not. They couldn't understand it. They couldn't comprehend the fact that here is someone who is the light of the world. It says in verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Again in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There were some, you see, and they recognized who he was. They recognized that here was a person like no other person. Here was a man who was perfect in his birth. Here was a man who was perfect in his life. And here was a man who would offer a perfect sacrifice to God for the sins of all of his people in every generation. And as you think of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, we're thinking of one who is a perfect man. The greatness of his person, there is the perfection of his nature. In Luke 1 and verse 35, this is what it says. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one that the children sang a little bit about, the ladies sang about him tonight, and now I'm speaking about him. When we think of him, we think of one with a perfect nature. But not only was there the perfection of his nature, there was the prevalence of his merit. The prevalence of his merits. You see, natural man is separated from God. And I want you to understand this tonight. You're not separated from God because you don't come to church every week. You're not separated from God because you're not Free Presbyterian. You're separated from God because of sin. Sin that reigns in your heart. Sin that you're born with. And it separates you. And that separation is a very clear line of demarcation. There are two people in the Bible. There are those who are saved, Christians. They may not get on together that well all the time because of different temperaments. They have different attitudes to things. They come from different parts of the world, different cultures. But they're all Christians because they know Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. And then there are others. And they get on even less together. And they're all still in their sin. Because there is that clear line of demarcation. And sin brings unfulfillment. It brings emptiness continually. And how many men and women there are who have come to meetings like this and they've said to someone beside them, yes, I know that in my life there's something missing. There's something missing in my life. Over there in the book of Ephesians, this is what it says in chapter 1. I'll read it for you. It says in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and the person who's speaking here, of course, is the Apostle Paul, speaking to the church at Ephesus. These people are now saved by God's grace. He says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even in the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Says there, in whom we have redemption. Notice it says, in whom. It's not enough to know about the Lord. And even to believe that Jesus Christ that we speak about, that he's somebody special, but you'll find redemption in him, not in knowing about him. Head knowledge will never do. You need to know him as your own and personal Savior. And every Christian here can recall that time when they came as a sinner to him. Nothing to offer him but our failure and sin. And we found him to be one who would gladly save us and cleanse us from our sin. There is a great place there. It is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then we have brought to our attention the great price. It says, in whom we have redemption. And the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross. He paid every part of the penalty that had to be paid for your sin and mine. See, God demanded the perfect keeping of the law of God. And no man could do it. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. He kept it perfectly. And when it come to your sin and mine, they had to be punished. And he died our substitute. You know what a substitute is. You've heard of people and that they have been in trouble for one reason or another. And someone who cared greatly for them, other than allow them to suffer or whatever, be punished for that what they've done wrong. They have went as their substitute. You've heard stories from wars and so on, where people have come and they say, listen, let that man go and take me. He's got a family, or he's not well, or he's got small children, or for whatever reason, and they said, take me instead. Shoot me. Or whatever it is you're going to do. That is being a substitute. Well, that is what the Lord Jesus Christ did for men and women. He took the punishment that was due to me. And when I think of how it is with me tonight, being saved by God's grace, not because of anything that I achieved. It's because of the prevalence of his merits. You see, when we're washed in the blood of the Lamb, as we sometimes sing in the wee hymn, and God looks upon us, he doesn't see our sin anymore. And I emphasize the point that it's not being a member of a Free Presbyterian church that will give you an entrance to heaven. It's not being a member of a church at all, but it is having the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. The greatness of his person, because no other person can offer you that. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. But there's not only the greatness of his person. When I think of his greatness here, I think of the greatness of his power. Now, the devil's very powerful. Even unsaved people understand that. When they look at what's going on in the world around us. And you will hear people, and they're not Christians, but they will speak with you and they'll say, you know, the devil's very busy. See all the things that are happening and people doing things. How can they do that to another human being? Well, the devil is very busy. And the devil is very busy blinding the eyes of men and women. But we have to understand tonight that Jesus Christ is all powerful. The devil is not. And don't make the mistake of looking out across the world and seeing men getting away with those things which they should never get away with. God's eye is upon it all. His eye is upon it all. And as one who is all powerful, I want to encourage you tonight, Christian, again by telling you that he will supply the need of his people. Church, when Paul was writing there to the church at Philippi, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, this is what he said. He said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ." You need encouragement? He'll encourage you. The Lord Jesus Christ will encourage you. And he will draw near to you in a special way that no one else can. He'll give you encouragement. He'll give you grace. Maybe you need grace just at the moment. For some reason or another, some pressing anxiety, and you need grace. He'll give it to you. You need companionship. In spite of having friends all around you, like every other human being, sometimes you feel you're there by yourself. The Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest friend, because the Bible speaks of him as the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Brothers are generally speaking close enough. Maybe they don't get on that well until you say something about one of them. I heard a story one time about a man at their firm where there were several brothers working, and he was talking to one of the brothers out in the yard, and the brother said something about his own brother in the office. The boy says, "Ah, you're right." And he went on to say something about him, and the boy turned around and leveled him. You see, it was okay for him to say something, but well dare anyone else say anything about him. But the Lord Jesus Christ is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He will give you encouragement, Christian. He'll give you grace. He'll give you companionship. As we noted last Sunday, you can have joy in a joyless world. There's a big difference, men and women, in a quick fix and lasting joy. You get a quick fix down at the pub. You'll get it in the smoke of the drug or whatever. But you'll not get joy in it. You'll get lasting joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And something else he can give you by his power. He can give you assurance. Assurance that it's well with your soul if you know him. And he will save all who will come to him. Whatever you take away from the meeting tonight, remember this. No institution will save you. No amount of religious activity will give you acceptance with God. It will be through the greatness of his power that you will be saved, if you will be saved. Remember what we read earlier on. As many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I wonder, do you know him tonight? We're glad you're here. But do you know him? Do you know him as your own and personal Savior? The greatness of his person, the greatness of his power. But I want to mention the greatness of his predictions. You see, all that he ever said, because Jesus Christ is God, all that he ever said would come to pass. You know, every prayer that he ever offered, was answered because he's God. When the people were around the cross, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them, and they were calling him everything, and they were throwing things at him, and they were laughing at him and spitting upon him. Do you remember he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? You may say, "Well, there's a prayer that wasn't answered." Well, yes, it was answered. Because when Peter preached on Pentecost, those people were converted. Those hundreds and indeed thousands of people turned to the Lord. Remember the greatness of his predictions. What he says will come to pass. In John 14, in verse 2, it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you." He's speaking here to those who know him. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Here's the end game for everyone. When the end time comes, as far as our earthly sojourn is concerned, would we be able to say that these words were applicable to us? "My Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you." That is the promise to every single Christian. Every Christian. And don't let the devil rob you of the comfort that brings to your heart. God forbid, but if something were to happen to you tonight, just as you went out of the building and went down the road, and we were never to see you in this scene of time again, Christian. Have the assurance that it will be well with your soul. Because Jesus here said he goes to prepare a place. And he spoke about that preparation. But I have to say tonight that when the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking on earth, he spoke far more. Now I want you to, this is true. He spoke far more about hell than he did about heaven. Yes, he did speak about heaven. But he spoke time and time and time again about hell because it's a real place. And he didn't want men to go there. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And over in Acts chapter 17 and verse 31, it says, because he hath appointed a day, in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. Now that is the Lord Jesus. The very one who would save you tonight. The one who is here in our midst tonight by the presence of his Holy Spirit. The one that we've been singing about, the one that I've been talking about, the one that we've been trying to emphasize the greatness of. He will save you from your sin. And you can leave washed in the blood of the Lamb, knowing that you will never be lost. But remember this, that this verse 31 tells us that one day that same Jesus will come as your judge if you don't come to know him. It says, I'll read it again, because he that is God hath appointed a day, and the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. You see, Jesus died. When did he rise again? He was raised again for our justification. He was raised again for the justification of all those who had come and put their trust in him. So here's a day, and you could write across that verse 31, this day is definitely coming. It's definitely coming. And leave your Bible sitting somewhere, and who knows when that day will be. Could be a few years, could be a long time. Maybe less than that. But that day is coming. And again, I asked you another question. Are you ready for that day? If it were to be tomorrow, would you say, well, I tie in with what you read in John 14. He's prepared a mansion for me because I know him as my Savior. Or would you have to say, well, if he happened to come tonight, he'd be coming not as my Savior, but as my judge. I wonder tonight, would you not embrace him? Turn from your sin and receive him. Transform your life. Give him new desires. He'll help you to deal with old habits that you think you could never break. He will give you new friends. He'll give you a life that is worth living. The greatness of his person. We've looked at that tonight. The greatness of his power, he can save you. And the greatness of his protections. How great he is. I trust tonight that you will make him your own if you don't know him at this present time. Thank you for listening tonight. I'm going to sing a hymn as we close.